Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I am Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the show. And Michael, I'm going to talk for a minute. Sue just called and said the alarm's going off over there at their house, if you would check on that. Welcome to Mindshifters Radio. Today is Tuesday, May the 30th, 2017. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. If you're not familiar with the forgiveness work, you can go to our website, which is www.whyagain.org. There's two places. One, in the top left corner, it says start here, and in the middle of the page, there's a red and white bullseye. Either one of those will take you to the same place. If you click on that, first link is chapter 24 of Michael's book. And then the second link is to Reality Management Wake-Up Sheets. And then the third link is to MP3s of radio shows where we've actually walked somebody through step-by-step how to do the wake-up sheets. And that is the core of the forgiveness work that we do. And so please go there, check it out, let us know how it's going. The radio shows Monday through Friday, 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time, to support you. If you have questions or anything, then absolutely give us a call, and we're here to help you. Michael, are you back from fixing the alarm? Maybe not yet. So I'll welcome Dr. Tim. How are you doing today, sir?
I am well. Happy anniversary, a day late.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a good time. After the radio show, we went and had an hour massage and then to a movie and then went out to eat and then came back. It was just a really nice day all the way around, spending time with each other. It was funny, though. I don't know if you saw it on our Facebook. Yesterday morning, we exchanged cards with each other. When we opened them up, they were the exact card. And inside, we had actually marked through the same words, like the card said something about unconditional love. So we had marked it and put all embracing love. And it said something about forgiving each other. And we had both marked out each other. And so it was just about forgiving. It was really funny that we had even marked the card the exact same way. So we got a big laugh out of that. So I don't know if we've been together so long that now we're thinking alike or what.
I'd say that's a pretty good bet.
Yep. So how are you doing? Did you have a good holiday?
I did. I had, as you were guessing and Michael was guessing, I listened to the show. And I was spending time with family, with my mother, two sisters, and my good friend. And we had acceptable weather both days and good family time. And it was my friend's birthday last Thursday, so we can kind of combine that with a birthday celebration, the Memorial Day celebration, and called family on the phone who weren't in the area and just had a very good family weekend. So, and I listened to the show and heard the very emotional, intense portions at the end with Julie and our friend
Shelly.
So So we just kept the work going, and there's Michael breathing in the background.
That's my plan. I'm going to keep breathing forever.
She keeps telling me, why do you breathe in the phone? It's like, we're here to send a message.
I told him you sounded like Darth Vader, though.
Yeah, yeah. And there have been times when people were guessing he was asleep, you know, and only half of those were wrong, so.
That's
fun. Oh, dear. What fun. What fun.
Michael, did you get my text, my message about the alarm?
About Stephen Leo? Yeah, I got a handle.
Yeah, okay. Awesome, thanks.
Cool. Well, welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here. Honored. And as you were talking about the end of the show on Friday, it was just...
it was yesterday.
You know, yesterday, pardon me. I'm not sure what day it is. We're just kind of going along getting it all done to get on the road. But anyway, to just reinforce the idea that, you know, you never know what gift you're going to bring somebody when you call the show and you open a question or a situation or a scenario and you process it. How many people will get gifts? You know, these things are going in the archives, and who knows, 2 years, 10 years, 200, 2,000 years from now, somebody might be listening to your question and it opens monumental healing. And it's an awesome opportunity and an awesome blessing to get to participate on this level. I just happened this morning to be inclined to pick up the phone and call someone that we had met in North Carolina, and right in the middle of a major healing process. It was just so sweet to just seemingly accidentally call. My mind gave me an excuse to do that and be right in the middle of one of those major processes that opens up for people. And, you know, just being there for someone can be such a phenomenal gift, such an amazing gift, as we each get to live out of the truth of who we are. And, of course, the truth is, if you hold a newborn child, you will know exactly what your true presence and being is. And it's that which we work to bring forward in every circumstance, in every situation, no matter how crazy the world gets, when we can bring that active presence of love forward. You know, it's an amazing design. I've seen people open things that are just beyond comprehension and beyond figuring out and beyond the possibility of ever getting past or healing. And observed through practice, you know, I can remember in the early days of doing this work, it's like, what is it that causes the healing to occur? And what it is that somebody in the space had a human life. Somebody in the space held to the active presence of love in the experience of their own or someone else's insanity. And the definition we use for the word insanity is that of a human form functioning without a human life, without the active presence of love. So we're here to support that opening of that active presence of love to really, truly functioning as human beings, as this energetic being that we were designed to be and started out as. And the world came in pretty quickly for most people and pounded it out of us, purposely or without purpose, without conscious awareness, just the living out of the generational patterns. The gentleman I was speaking with this morning was sharing that he was just in the middle of dealing with some intimacy issues in his life. Relationship and how, you know, his mind was just in crazy places in relationships. And then as he was able to cancel some goals, to go back and recall being just 2 years of age when mother accused father of aberrant sexuality and threw him out of the house, and then secretly carried on in a lesbian relationship, thinking the children didn't know or weren't impacted. And so in order to clean up the functioning of relationship within his own life, from the sexual intimacy point of view, he had to go back and ferret through all the crazy dynamics. You know, remembering hearing stories of his dad at the age of 2, who watched his mother was thrown out of the house because she was found in bed with literally the postman. You know, it's an old joke, but I guess this was literally true. These generational patterns around any and every issue, and this intimacy issue, is such a huge piece of the puzzle. And here's what you can count on. If you engage in the process of forgiveness, not letting mom off the hook for what she did, or dad off the hook, or grandpa or grandma off the hook for what they did, or yourself off the hook for your own aberrant behaviors. That's called pardoning. Very nice thing to do, to let somebody off the hook, and can really open the space for a lot of processing to occur. But the real forgiveness work happens when I look at that circumstance or that situation, that is the construct that my mind has about any given event that I've experienced, and I search diligently for precisely the goal that's driving perceptual construct. The gentleman I was speaking with this morning was really a conversation about what he didn't want to do. And he didn't want to be this way in his intimate relationships, and didn't want that to happen, and didn't, and didn't, and didn't. And that's one of the traps of the non-being mind, is it will trap you in what you don't want. And by focusing you in what you don't want, you remember Yeshua 2,000 years ago said, "Let thine eye be single, and thy body will be filled with light." He knew, as the physicists are now understanding, that so-called matter is light energy solidified. Light energy, lowered in its rate of vibration, and a singular focus. Now, it doesn't matter what you focus on, whether you focus or why you focus on something, because you love it or you hate it. If you focused on it, you just organized, you just turned that energetic pattern literally into organic structure. Because as your mind focuses there, what will happen is your mind will turn that focus into molecules in your body. The molecules will circulate around in your structure until they find cells that have receptor sites that match, will land on the cell and literally turn into what we call chemistry in the cell. I'm not acknowledging that there's such a thing as chemistry or even such a thing as a cell, but that's a whole different conversation. On the level of the understanding of a body and cells, that's how it works. And so if I focus on how much, pardon me, I don't want to do this or that or that, what I put into my cells in the way of, again, what they call chemistry, is this or that or that. And by the continued focus there, I will pass it on through my genes to the next generation, who, if they never learn to take those viruses out of this energy system, will pass it on, add to it, and pass it on to the next generation. And so it goes. I love to remind us about the story of the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years. Think about that. This is a pretty bright group of people. How do you get lost in a 30-square-mile area for 40 years? I mean, that's just ludicrous. It wasn't about being lost in a hot, sandy place. It was about being stuck in unconscious dynamics. And you remember they said, in order to get out of the desert, go back and read that story. It's very informative. The old generation had to die off, and that didn't mean that everybody in old physical bodies had to physically die. The root of the word generation is genari. It means cause, all of the causes held in the mind, all of the things that generations have hated and wanted to stay away from and therefore created in their lives and in their physiology and in their emotions and in their genes have to be uprooted and forgiven. And here is the technology, specifically how it's done. It is so simple. I love the way the Course talks about it. It cannot fail to be completely understood. Rejected, yes, but not ambiguous. And if you reject it, it will be because you don't want to deal with what's inside of you. But if you don't deal with what's inside of you consciously from a space of active love, then guess what's going to come and bite you on the butt over and over and over? And then the next generation is going to get bit on the butt over and over and over. And the next and the next and the next until somebody wakes up and goes, this is an interesting and bizarre perceptual construct. My God, look at this. It's filled with rage and fear and sadness and loss and trepidation and terror and murder. Yeah, that's what's there in those constructs. And when you identify specifically the goal that's driving that whole perception. You know, there's some interesting Harvard research that says in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, the max amount of data that goes into conscious awareness is 9 bits. Something selects the 9 bits. And what selects the 9 bits is the goal that you hold. And when you cancel the goal, then the perceptual construct collapses. Collapsed, you now have access to its root. This is how forgiveness works. It seems so backward and so counterintuitive until you understand perception and how the mind works. And your perception is designed to be fired and fueled by the active presence of love. If your perception is fired and fueled by hostility or fear, then your perception is a liar. There is no truth in it. And most people base most of their behaviors their whole lives long in perceptions that have no truth. And behaviors driven by perceptions that have no truth in them. And they wonder why everything gets screwed up and why they always have to leave. Why they always have to find a way to get out or kick somebody else out. And ultimately, it's always because I don't want to deal with this that's inside of me. And if I don't deal with it, guess who gets to deal with it? My children and their children and their children. So there's an old song, how long has this been going on? And so the willingness, the courage, and the insight to use the tool of forgiveness to cancel the goal that drives the current perception that brings about aberrant behaviors. Behaviors based in any form of hostility or fear collapses those perceptions. And when they collapse, you get to drop into what's under them. And when you bring, remember step 4 in the wake up sheet, conscious act of present love. I'm going to do a love exchange with myself. I'm going to bring love present in this space before I cancel this goal. And when I cancel this goal, when I unload the driver that causes the perception that's based in the viruses of hostility and fear, then I get to go to the root of the viruses. And it can be extremely traumatic events that we go to. And if you take love there as your companion, and if you can't do it for yourself, then you've got someone there that can support you that is able to hold love conscious, active, and present. Then you begin the dissolution, or you continue the dissolution of the insanities that we have done to ourselves and to each other for too many generations. I was reading a report this morning, and it kind of ties into the root of, you know, this sexual issue that's so big for so many people. I mean, 60% of people who start out, I love you, end in divorce. I mean, how bizarre is that? What does that say about us? It says that there's all kinds of unconscious data in our minds around sexuality. And until we're able to ferret in and remove those things, then we're going to be stuck in the aberrant behaviors linked to them, the aberrant feelings linked to them. And that's going to tend to shatter relationship. What do you suppose the impact energetically on the planet was of this single event? Just happened to run across it this morning, and it was interesting that I'd just finished processing around intimacy issues with this gentleman. And I came across a report on what were called comfort women out of Korea during the Second World War. The Japanese, and I would love to be taking this work on another level. We've actually got one person who's been in Japan working with these tools for several years. But I would love to take it on another level to open up, to free that community of whatever it's holding on to in the Korean community. Because what happened was that when the Japanese went into Korea, they basically kidnapped little girls. I'm not sure what the earliest age was, but the one report that I was reading about was a 50-year-old girl who's now in a home that's designed for caring for these women, and she's now in her early 90s. But they basically kidnapped thousands of little girls. And here's a society that prides itself on its decorum and its righteousness, and it's, you know, doing things the right way. It kidnapped little girls and forced them to be prostitutes for their soldiers. They were called comfort women. How do you suppose that energy coming into planet Earth in that massive a way, little girls forced into this with foreign men, who kids who've likely not even been introduced to sexuality? What kind of craziness do you suppose that is? And what kind of wound has to be in the psyche of a nation that would do that? What kind of wound needs to be healed? I'm saying this to open the space to look at, you know, and maybe we've got somebody in the audience today. Maybe that's why this conversation is going on, who was involved somehow. Perhaps someone of Japanese descent, perhaps someone of Korean descent, that can take this information back and go, let's open this national wound for these two countries, because the psyche of the Japanese still carry that horrific offense within them. Though honor is their code, dishonor is in the unconscious. And women in Korea and women on a global scale, what do you suppose? We as a species are going to have to breathe through to get rid of that one. And of course, that's just one example of millions of insane examples like that, that play out in all kinds of aberrant sexuality in our world today. The wonder and the beauty of the process is that it is all healable. Every offense, every stain, every pain, every trauma, every sin, you know, looking at that word sin as the energetic term that it was meant in Aramaic, meaning an archery term that means off the mark, every energy that's off the mark, that when brought to the presence of love, it can be dissolved and we can be relieved of it. And I'm talking about we as a species. I'm talking about we as a particular race of people can be alleviated of the insanities of our ancestors, of our culture, of a world gone awry. And I have deep appreciation for everybody who moves in the direction of healing. Thousands of people, you know, every little burg that we go into now today has a small healing center or a large healing center where people are talking about real healing rather than pushing drugs down somebody's throat. time for a new awakening to occur on the earth. And I'm honored for any small part that we can play in that awakening. Any thoughts for you in any of that, Dr. Tim?
Well, only that my personal and professional experience echoes that the pervasiveness of sexual abuse is far greater than most studies would show and most professionals would talk about if they were going to get published. And yet, I had a situation in last week where I was able to sit with a woman who doesn't remember exactly how many children she and her husband were foster parents for over the years. She lost track after a while, but it was a lot. And her statement was that she doesn't think she ever had a foster child that wasn't sexually abused. So it's, and it, you know, it's very much like what you were talking about yesterday. This foster mother and father were able to hold the space of love for these children who were being rejected by basically everyone in their lives, whether it was an institution or another person. And they didn't have 100% success, but they had a lot of success with those people. You were talking about psychopaths yesterday that are now being studied. And if they're held in that space of love long enough and through all conditions, then they change. They regain the capacity for their awareness of their true nature and their extension of that true nature. So I, for one, am glad to have access to the tools that allow me to stay more loving and more willing to clean up my own side of the equation on a daily basis, which allows me to have a greater, more focused, conscious awareness of the fact that we're all loving, that we're all loved, and we're all lovable forever because we are the stuff of love. That's my offering.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I've said it before on the show, but my take and my experience of working with people over the last almost half century is that we're probably at about 60 to 70% of people who've been sexually abused in this country. And we're probably way ahead of the curve in that regard compared to much of the rest of the world. And so, and it's something that's kept in the back door and kept hidden. And, you know, it's just the whole culture needs to wake up to dealing with those issues. You know, you hear about these athletes that get themselves in situations where they've raped somebody and they're just a product of, they're just a flow of what's been structured into them that nobody finds resolvable. Talking on both sides of that equation. And the aberrant treatment of individuals sexually does not locate itself in gender. Most people, when they talk about sexual abuse, talk about women. But in my experience over the years, just as many men have been sexually abused as women. And it's just time to open the space for that to be talked about and for forgiveness to come into the situation, to remove those dynamics, that we can stop this and allow these pure, innocent children that come in to stay pure and innocent, to maintain that innocence, and for those who've had their innocence violated to regain their innocence through forgiveness, to remove the stain, the energetic dynamic that was off the mark, that never belonged within a child's energy field. and to open a space for children to come into a world where they're honored as sexual beings. They understand sexuality as sexuality was designed to be an awesome expression between two people that is sweet and filled with innocence and the active presence of the love of God. I say that to people sometimes. Wait a minute. You're talking about God, sex in the same minute? Yeah. Who do you think created sexuality? You think there's something wrong? That's insane. It's an awesome gift that was given to us. And when the active presence of love is brought into that, literally there is the support of that energy, that presence of love from the Creator for that intimate expression. And it's time for us, I think, to restore that understanding to the mass mind and the minds who've been violated by something less than that, for the space to open for healing to occur and the future generations to come in clean. I would just about guarantee that if we were to remove sexual abuse from the planet today, within one generation, war would be disappeared from planet Earth. Divorce would be virtually unheard of. Violence would be gone. Murder would be over on the planet. For me, that's how important that issue is. And so I invite the whole community to hold space for that and for each individual to be willing to do their part, because the beauty of understanding the physics of Yeshua's work from 2,000 years ago is when he says a little leavening leavens the whole loaf, he's talking about critical mass and physics, and that only a few people need to open that space in themselves to be able to look at every aberrant sexual energy from every generation in their bloodline, bring it to the presence of love, dissolve it, and together we open a whole different energetic possibility on the planet. So that's what we're here to do, and we invite everybody that's in earshot of the show or anybody that ever listens to it 2 years from now or 2,000 years from now to be part of that space. So let's check with Jeannie and see if there's anybody in the phone queue with a hand up or anybody in the chat room with a thought or a question. Jeannie?
There's just three of us in the chat room, and it's really quiet. Nobody has a hand up. There's several people on the switchboard, so if someone presses one, you're first in line without waiting.
And as our caller on yesterday, toward the end of the show, informed us, a seemingly offhanded question that was relatively meaningless opened probably one of the major, if not the key issue in his whole life, in a simple offhanded comment. And that's the power of community, when there is this active space of love where so many people are doing their work and focusing on creating that space of active love and creating the space for those aberrant energies to show up.
We have
a contribution.
Up.
Your question is, you just never know. So let's hear it. Let's go for it, sweetie.
541, you're on the air. Is it Julie?
Hey there, young lady. Hello, Julie. I can't hear you if you're there.
Oops, I was on mute.
There you go. That old mute challenge is a bear. Hey there, young lady.
Yeah, you know, and that's what one of my biggest issues is, not being heard.
Now, isn't that a neat metaphor for it's all an inside job? I hold my mute button on, and then I'm not heard. What a great metaphor.
Yeah,
I hadn't thought of that one. That's
yeah.
Cool.
Another one, too, for, like, holding back. When you use the word, I hold my mute button on, I'm holding that energy. Yeah.
That's
well, I'm calling to just let you know and acknowledge you. Anne has been staying with me for a few days, and she brought with her the DVD set of the Aramaicisms that you did with Dale Allen Hoffman.
Yes.
Yeah. And it was so fantastic. It was beautiful to watch the two of you interrelate and bring forth a really integrated message. Beautiful. It was good. And I slept through some of it. I'm not sure how much, but I had to take it on that level, I think, for my first go-through.
Well, you know, an Aramaic speaker mm-hmm. back, you know, 2,000 years ago would be complimented if his audience was falling asleep, because it would be the awareness that someone's reaching into a deep level of process. And mm-hmm. that was an appropriate and allowed space and an allowed thing to have happened. So I'm glad that it opened the space up that some unconsciousness was processing. And the next time you watch it, you'll probably go to the next level. And
yeah.
It was, I thought, a really wonderful dance between Dale and myself. We just, it was really a delightful and joyful 4 hours. And it's
you
nice to
tell.
Have that one available for posterity.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, when a viewer is viewing it, they can tell the profound respect that you had for each other and that you truly held the space for each other as you took turns. And that was beautiful. And Anne and I were also mentioning to ourselves and each other that how profound is it to have two such great masters of this work in the same room at the same time, putting something on the record, you know, for everyone hereafter. It's just great. And I'm glad I'm part of this team.
Delighted. And, of course, there's a whole year of archives where every Friday Dale was on the show. So you can go back. Anybody wants to get more of the Aramaic ideas. Aramaicisms is a term that I coined to represent, you know, the fact that the Aramaic meanings of certain words is being disappeared from the planet, and that what we're looking to do is to restore the original Aramaic meaning of these Aramaic words. And there are just so many key, really, I mean, you know, we've already talked about one of the key words that's been changed. We've been told that love is a verb, something we do to each other, when the fact is love is a noun. It's who we are. Hold a newborn, you know what love is. And, you know, Vladimir Lenin says, change the meaning of a culture's words and you can destroy the culture. And now the culture of love has been destroyed by a system of thought that believes that love is a verb. If love is a verb and you have nothing to represent the state of being love, no word for that, who can set that as a goal to achieve that? And so that's just like, you know, one little top piece of the puzzle, but so many, the word forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So many idioms that we get into. The idioms were fun to do with Dale there. And that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody wants to get a copy of that video, you can go to our catalog on whyagain.org, and you could click the button and get a copy of it.
I'm going to. Hey,
cool.
Michael, one time I mentioned this, and now having heard Dale and the detail that the Aramaic words have when there's a different pronunciation or a different vowel and the way that things are written that would indicate that.
Right.
You know, the word Aramaic and the word America are the rearrangement of the same letters. Except for
yes.
America has E in it instead of A for that second syllable,
right.
Amer. And I'm just wondering if we replaced it with the A, how that might change the meaning and maybe the energy. But it seems almost like it was deliberately done, as we find many things by our founding fathers were deliberately done, you know, that just to give another hint of what our true foundation is. Possibly,
right.
I don't know. Or it was a fluke. It was just guided by something else, and it turned out that way.
Well, but if you look back at the Native American peoples, I would say chances are probably at least 80% that most of the original natives of America were actually Aramaic genes, the scattered lost tribes of Israel, who came to America. That language is still preserved in many cases in the different dialects of different Native American tribes. And the mindset is there. I believe that the Hawaiians, you know, the word aloha is pretty much identical to the word rakma in the Aramaic language, which is speaking about a condition in the frontal lobes of the brain that is a gateway for love to enter the form, right down to, if you look at the greeting in Hawaii of Native Hawaiians, is, and the importance of the breath, is they greeted by touching forehead to forehead, rakma to rakma, reinforcing that presence. And the whole aloha spirit that they speak about is the whole basis of love. It's the basis of their culture. And until the warring tribes of other islands showed up there, my understanding is that the Hawaiians were pretty much based in aloha, based in rakma. And so that those ideas are still present there. And we just finished recently watching a video. And let me get to the title of it. The Lost Tribes, or the Lost... Do you remember what the name of that video was?
I do not.
The Lost... I'll have to look it up. Lost Tribes of America. People who settled this country originally, and the monumental achievements that have just been hidden away. You know, we're told they were a bunch of savages, yet they had cities to rival and structures to rival the pyramids. And the cultural language is akin and probably rooted in Aramaic. So I suspect there's probably a reason why it's America. Do you have any other thoughts for us, Julie? Is your mute button on, Julie? Have we lost you?
She actually dropped and has come back on. So, Julie, you're back on.
Okay. I'm back.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. I bumped my phone. I'm having mute button and bump button problem. Whatever. Hey. We heard on Sunday at the Unity Church here, the pastor here in Ashland spoke about the Iroquois Indian tribe and how they had such a great part, they played a great part in how we wrote our Constitution, and that there were some things left out that they originally intended, that it all sounded very much like Aramaic.
Yeah, it's rooted. The Constitution of the United States is rooted in the Iroquois agreements, so the way they run their culture.
Yeah, that's real interesting. We want to do some more research on that. I think we're really, really waking up and becoming aware of how to tie this all together, how it's all integrated already, and to consciously, I guess, carry it in our daily lives as we interact with each other. So the more we know of the true roots of our heritage and what we've created, good and bad, you know, we can undo and remove the unwanted energies and reestablish and reaffirm first, I suppose, and then reestablish the principles that are true and that really work because they're according to the true laws of nature and laws, like the laws of living, true laws. So I thought that was a really nice theme to acknowledge for Memorial Day, just like you chose to remember who we are for Memorial Day. I like these bigger integrations that we're getting. Without being so focused on war and making heroes out of war, you know, just remembering those persons who thought they were doing the right thing during those wars, remembering who they really are.
Exactly. Yeah. It ties right in with Recovery Wednesday. It's about recovering the truth of who we are. And mm-hmm. when we live in the truth of who we are, we could not fathom doing war. It's just it's impossible. And to me, that's the real remembering that has to happen. And certainly to memorialize those who, and to me also at the same time, apologize to those who, the word that's used is sacrificed. Sadly, I think much of it, you know, sacrifice really means to make sacred. Much of it was not sacrificial, was not made sacred. It was very profane. And to me, an apology is due to everyone who gave up their lives, their health, and sadly, in many cases, their sanity to this bizarre thing called war. And there's an interesting book that you can buy on Amazon for $5 from a fellow who was named Smedley Butler. He was the, at the time he wrote this book, back in the 30s, he was the most decorated Marine that the United States had ever had. And the name of his book, and he outlines it very, very perfectly. In fact, I think there might be, if you search for it online, there might be an audio recording of it that you can download free, if I'm remembering correctly. But the fellow's name was Smedley Butler, was decorated Marine at the time, and his book is War is a Racket. I, for one, would like to apologize to everyone who ever got caught in that scam and taken down the pike for the loss of their families, their lives, their health, and their sanity. And I commit myself to doing everything that I can to restore for each of those people down through all of history. I mean, this has been going on for so long. The restoration of the truth that we are beings based and founded in the presence of love, and that when we are restored to that, every energy that is less than love is wiped clean. So to me, that's more of what Memorial Day needs to be about, and honoring the losses that we impinged on so many people because of our unconsciousness. So thank you for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You're welcome. Well, do you have some other callers? Anne and I are packing here. She's leaving today. And
do you have another caller?
What?
I said, yes, we do have another caller.
Okay, well, I'll let it go. But I just want to give a big thanks to my friend Anne, who has helped me organize my some of the chaos in my life, a lot of clutter and papers from many years piled up here and there. And she just jumped in with the greatest spirit and helped me clear out and get that energy moving. So I am very grateful to her. I recommend her highly.
Sweet. Well, Anne, we wrap our arms around you and hold you in safety and travel blessings. So travel safely, whatever your next destination is, and we'll look forward to the next time we get face-to-face with both of you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. All right.
Hey, okay. Delighted.
Bye-bye.
Blessings
thank
to you.
You,
too. All right.
Thank you.
So, Jeannie, you've got another hand up.
We're doing. I think it's Rome 808.
Good morning.
Hey, we haven't heard from this young lady in a little while. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I just really have one question, and that is, what year were these Aramaic Fridays being broadcast? I tried to find them, and I couldn't find them.
I can tell you, it began January the 3rd, 2014.
And it ran for a year.
So
the whole year,
January
2014,
the 3rd,
every Friday.
Pick up every Friday.
Right, right, right. Good. Well,
and they were Aramaic mm-hmm. Fridays, so Dale was on every week. I think we might have missed one or two weeks or something happened. He was traveling or whatever, but otherwise it was the whole year. It was a great year.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
Well, I look forward to hearing it. I just committed to the Divine Science Ministers retreat in September, and I'll present Why Is This Happening to Me Again there.
Oh, cool. Where is that going to be?
That's, let's see, where is it going to be? It's going to be in California. Santa Cruz, California.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So you're going to be coming across the big pond.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
crossing
cool.
the waters for the first time in a number of years. Yeah, it's a funny thing because... Well, I've
Go
been
ahead.
So reclusive for the last few years that...
Yes.
The actual idea of coming out of retirement is... it really triggered some energy coming forth, you know. And I really do want to study up on the Aramaic aspects of the work that we're doing, because I think the distinction in the words being correct is so important in getting ourselves on target, you know, and making sure that if we want to go to the moon, we have to have the coordinates just right, you know.
You got
Otherwise,
it.
We'll just fly
You've got
right
it.
By. Yeah, so...
Very cool.
Yeah, so I already found myself describing what I'm offering to present as Aramaic forgiveness. So I want to make sure that I have the arsenal, the
fabulous
arsenal of consciousness in my backpack.
Right.
When I arrive
now,
there.
have you watched the PowerPoint presentation? On our YouTube channel around forgiveness?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Cool, good. Okay, you might want to make that part of it because it's so precisely done. Might be a powerful thing to put in. And, of course, you can just download that to a thumbnail drive. And anyway, as you mentioned that you're going to be crossing the pond in September, and you've talked about intensives and how it's just too far away, we are going to be in Michigan doing an intensive in October. I don't know how far your trip's going to stretch, but we're going to be there if it's time to do that, too.
Mm-hmm. Where in Michigan?
Ball colors. We're actually going to be just outside of Lansing, a little town called Williamston. And it looks like, we haven't finalized yet, but it looks like we're going to do a 16-day codependence communication practicum. Mm-hmm. And it's a relatively new intensive that we've only done a couple times, but it's really a pretty powerful happening. And so that'll be in Lansing, I think, October. What date are we proposed to be starting, Jeannie? We haven't finalized it yet, but...
We're saying we would start on Thursday. Let me find it here. October the 12th and go through Friday, October the 27th. And it's actually broken into two different workshops. A 7-day and a 9-day.
What are the two different workshops?
It'll be codependence.
Communication and what?
Communication. So they tie together very well. So we'll start out and we'll do the codependence section, and then we'll move into and interweave the responsibility communication tools. So what we'll do in the context of codependence is we'll take situations, say, for instance, when a conflict comes up or someone has a memory of a conflict, you know, is there anybody in the room that reminds you of that person? Okay, well, that person, would you be willing to do a responsibility communication process? And we'll actually sit the two people down and walk them through step by step. And it's extremely powerful to watch that as it unfolds. And the real the precision of doing responsibility communication in a supported way in that setting is just awesome and how it shifts things. So if that happens to
remove
fit in your...
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for mentioning
cool.
that. I, you know, I'm flying over on invisible money.
okay, well, hey, that's cool.
Yeah, so we'll see how that all works out, but thank God for 0% credit. 0% ATM credit cards. I think the removal of that layer, there's an external layer of codependent behavior that was sort of culturally accepted as what a good person does, you know, constantly looking after others, that But it really can be used as an escape hatch for not really getting centered and taking care of your own internal realities. So I think peeling that external layer of codependency off is really important part of the process. And yeah.
Of course, then
sounds good.
The next piece, once you've done that, mm-hmm. is then you start looking at how one lives in the culture of constantly and continuously blaming others, which is the real codependence. Because whenever I think or speak as though something that's going on inside of me is caused by something outside of me, I'm now in codependent relationship. And so the resolving of that dynamic is just monumental when people look back through the strings of relationships in their lives, undo that, and free themselves from the dissociated energies that come hand in hand with living in denial, living in that space of codependence. So, so it's a powerful process. We're going to be in a really beautiful home. Actually, Michelle has opened her home up to us for that intensive. So she's got a beautiful big 6-bedroom home in a
beautiful
community.
Well, I hope Michelle is doing well.
Yeah, Michelle is definitely moving in the
accident.
Right direction.
But yeah. I mean, she had the accident with the chainsaw, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she's pretty much handled that energy and moving on to the next level.
Yeah, very nice.
Communication, so it is.
I appreciated your Course in Miracles presentation yesterday and was rather amazed that you were able to compartmentalize the communication relative to Course in Miracles, which, you know, it's very relevant to the total body of work that you're teaching. But I was pretty amazed. I thought it was a very beautiful presentation. I still, you know, I still feel that your intros would make, if we just, excuse me, if we just collect your intros to all of these radio programs and publish them as a book, you know, it's just an, it really seems very obvious to me. I don't have the technology to do that work, the typing, what do you call it, transcribing of these things. I just don't have the technology that would make it possible. But it sure seems like an obvious thing, because your introduction today, again, you know, that's, these are precious. I like your reference to 2,000 years from now, because, you know, I really do believe in the 100th monkey. I think it's going to happen. So,
yep. Critical mass. We're on it.
So,
we're on it, and we're down
years,
the last few seconds.
Oh, goodness. Okay. All right.
I'm
well, thank you
close
very
out
much.
The show, but, okay.
Aloha.
Blessings and aloha. Aloha, Rachma. And, you know, as you bring that thought up, maybe that's your task. That's why you're referring to having the technology. And there is actually transcription technology that will take those spoken things and put them into written words. And then maybe your task is to take those and organize them in a way that they could be published, edit them. And so who knows? That might be your job. Sounds like you maybe just volunteered. And that would be awesome. In the meantime, everybody, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Love and blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.